Welcome to As It Is, a 30-minute program designed for English learners. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
We also explain words and language rules, all while bringing you stories and information from around the world.
China and the Philippines are considering having talks on their conflicting claims to parts of the South China Sea. On Tuesday, the Permanent Court of Arbitration rejected China's historical claim to most of the South China Sea. The court made its ruling based on the United Nations Convention on the Law of the Sea. The court in The Hague, the Netherlands, is an international organization that seeks to resolve disputes between nations. Both China and the Philippines are members. On Tuesday, Philippine Foreign Secretary Perfecto Yase called the PCA ruling an important contribution. Chinese officials, however, questioned the PCA's fact-finding process. They say the court does not have the authority to make a ruling, and they have said they would prefer bilateral talks to resolve the country's issues related to the South China Sea. Wang Yi, China's foreign minister, spoke after the PCA released its decision. He said the Philippines had recently made statements that showed a willingness to continue talks about the South China Sea. Such negotiations could help prevent threats of war. They could also make the waters between the two countries safer for commercial use on both sides, especially for Philippine fishermen. And they could help China repair its image as a bully in the South China Sea dispute. Many Filipinos cheered the PCA ruling, which said China had violated Philippine rights to use waters off its west coast. But some Filipinos also expressed fear. They worried China would ignore the ruling and make things harder for Philippine fishing boats in disputed waters. Their concerns increase pressure on the government to hold talks. Jay Batangbakul directs the Institute for Maritime Affairs and Law of the Sea at the University of the Philippines. He said the Philippine President, Rodrigo Duterte, will likely try to negotiate a friendly settlement with the Chinese. But Batangbakul added, the Philippine public will expect its government to take a strong position on the issue and to get a positive result. If the two countries go forward with talks, analysts say, China is in a difficult position. It must decide whether to stay firm on claiming territory in the South China Sea or to find a diplomatic way out of conflict. Tung Siu Mun is a senior fellow at the Regional Strategic and Political Studies Program under the ICS Yusuf Ishak Institute. He wrote in an email to VOA that China will try to establish its sovereignty by showing its military force. However, Tung said, such a show would only damage China's international reputation. He said talks with Philippine officials would give China a chance to improve its image. But even if the Philippines and China reach a deal later, another analyst noted that the U.S. and other countries will likely still insist that China follow the decision of the PCA. That decision says China does not have the rights to 12 nautical mile territorial waters around most of the South China Sea's islands and reefs. Kong Lingjie is deputy dean of China Institute of Boundary and Ocean Studies at Wuhan University. He told VOA, the U.S. government will give a lot of pressure for the Chinese government to implement the award. But China, its policy and position is very firm. It wouldn't change even a bit. Kong added that China will follow the example set by the U.S. in 1986. At that time, the U.S. rejected an arbitration ruling reached by the UN's International Court of Justice. That ruling supported Nicaragua's complaints against the U.S. violations of its sovereignty. But the U.S. blocked enforcement of the judgment. In 1992, Nicaragua withdrew its complaints. I'm Ana Mateo.
The agreement limiting Iran's nuclear program in return for easing international restrictions on the country is now 1 year old, but fragile. The United States, six other world powers, and Iran finished nearly 2 years of negotiations on the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action on July 14, 2015. The agreement set out steps Iran had to take to prevent the country from being able to make nuclear weapons. It also ended many of the West's financial, trade, and oil sanctions that had hit Iran's economy hard. Recently, Secretary of State John Kerry said the agreement contained Iran's nuclear program. It really wasn't long ago that we saw a rapidly expanding nuclear program in Iran, only months away from having enough weapons-grade uranium to build 10 to 12 nuclear weapons, said Kerry. Iran has shut down thousands of centrifuges for enriching uranium. It also has exported almost all of its bomb-making material, according to the Associated Press. The Obama administration and some independent experts say if Iran were racing to make a nuclear weapon, it would need at least a year. The U.S. and its partners, Britain, China, France, Germany, and Russia, say that is enough time to discover it and stop it. Iran's moves mean the threat of a military conflict is gone for now, according to the Associated Press. However, upcoming elections in the U.S. and an election next year in Iran could bring new leaders who want to undo the deal. In the U.S., Democratic presidential candidate Hillary Clinton supports the deal, but Republican candidate Donald Trump says he would renegotiate it if he wins. In Iran, President Hassan Rouhani and his government, which helped negotiate the agreement, could be replaced. And in the Middle East, Israeli leaders still strongly oppose the deal, although there is little talk of airstrikes or military intervention against Iran. For now, the agreement is holding. The U.S. and Iran also are expanding cooperation. The American company Boeing reached a deal with government-owned Iran Air to buy passenger airplanes. That agreement could be worth as much as $25 billion. That suggests some of the agreement's early problems may be easing. However, in the U.S. Congress, both Republicans and Democrats who opposed the nuclear agreement want to stop the airplane sale. Last week, the House passed two measures to block the sale. The Senate has not acted yet. President Obama would likely veto the bill blocking the sale. Supporters say the deal is a success because Iran does not have nuclear weapons. Those opposed, however, warn that this is just year one and there are seven more to go in the eight-year agreement.
Donald Trump has called for U.S. Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg to resign after her critical comments about him. In interviews with the Associated Press, The New York Times, and CNN, Ginsburg spoke about Trump, the presumptive Republican nominee for president. Ginsburg told the Associated Press she did not want to think about the possibility of Trump winning the election. She added with a smile, "It's likely that the next president, whoever she will have a few appointments to make." Hillary Clinton is the likely Democratic nominee for president. She will likely run against Trump. In the New York Times interview, published on July 10th, Ginsburg said, "I can't imagine what our country would be with Donald Trump as our president." She also joked about moving to New Zealand. In a follow-up interview on Monday with CNN, Ginsburg called Trump a faker who has no consistency about him. Ginsburg also criticized Trump for not making his recent tax returns public. Most candidates running for president do this. Traditionally, Supreme Court justices like Ginsburg do not comment on presidential candidates. They keep their feelings about the candidates to themselves. One of the reasons is that the Supreme Court is sometimes called upon to help decide an election. That happened in the year 2000, when the results of the election between Al Gore and George W. Bush were not clear. In response to Ginsburg's comments, Trump said the justice, who is 83, should resign from her position. Ginsburg is the oldest justice currently serving on the highest court in the U.S. Trump used Twitter to say her comments about him were dumb and her mind is shot. Resign. Other Republicans were also critical of Ginsburg. Republican House Speaker Paul Ryan said, "Her comment shows bias." And Republican Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell said it was totally inappropriate for Ginsburg to criticize Trump. Bernie Sanders, a Democratic candidate for president, said he agreed with Ginsburg's comments about Trump. But the senator from Vermont declined to say whether they were appropriate. On Wednesday, the New York Times editorial board wrote a column saying it agreed with Trump. The newspaper said it is vital that the court remain outside the presidential process. The Washington Post agreed with Ginsburg's comments, but said it would be better if a Supreme Court justice kept her thoughts about the election private. Ginsburg has served on the Supreme Court since 1993. President Bill Clinton, a Democrat, appointed Ginsburg. At the time, she was the second woman appointed to the Supreme Court. Ginsburg has also criticized the Republican-controlled Senate for not acting on President Barack Obama's nomination of Judge Merrick Garland. Right now, the court only has 8 justices instead of 9. Justice Antonin Scalia died earlier this year.
This is what's trending today. Pokemon Go can be called a phenomenon. The smartphone video game became popular almost overnight. Millions of people have downloaded the game. For the most part, it's all in good fun. People are getting outside more, walking around, and even meeting their neighbors. But some people think Pokemon Go players should try to use better judgment. There were reports earlier this week of people hunting Pokemon at the U.S. Holocaust Memorial Museum in Washington, D.C. The museum is a memorial to Jews who were killed by Nazis in Europe in the 1930s and 1940s. The museum has asked the game's makers to remove it from the sites where players can hunt the characters. People have also reportedly been looking for Pokemon characters at the Arlington National Cemetery near Washington. The cemetery is where many U.S. military veterans are buried. Some people are joking about the recent backlash. Backlash is a strong public reaction against something, usually something that has become very popular. At least one company hopes the game stays popular. The stock of game maker Nintendo increased over 50% last week after the game's release. In the United States, businesses are already trying to find ways to take advantage of the game's popularity. And that's what's trending today. I'm Dan Friedel.
Pop music star Taylor Swift is rich, likely beyond her wildest dreams.
Say you'll remember me, standing in a nice dress, staring at the sunset, babe, red lips and rosy cheeks. Say you'll see me again, even if it's just in your wildest dreams.
Forbes magazine lists the highest paid celebrities each year. It puts the singer-songwriter at the top of its 2016 list. It says Swift earned an estimated $170 million in the last 12 months. Swift beat out British group One Direction this year by about $60 million, says the magazine. The boy band is in the number 2 position. Other singer-songwriters on the list include Adele, who placed 9th with $80.5 million.
This was all you, none of it me. You put your hands on my body and told me. You told me you were ready for the big one, for the big jump.
Madonna came in at 12 with $76.5 million. Rihanna was next with 75 million.
You.
Katy Perry's $41 million was only enough to get her to the 63rd place. She was number 3 in the 2015 Forbes list. Reality television star Kim Kardashian, who is on the cover of the magazine, rated 42nd with $51 million. 40% of her earnings came from her mobile game, Kim Kardashian Hollywood. Taylor Swift is expected to launch a mobile game of her own next year. A couple of athletes were among the top 10 highest-paid celebrities. Can you guess which sport they represent? Yes, soccer players both. Real Madrid player Cristiano Ronaldo is tied for fourth place with $88 million earned. Coming in at number 8 is Lionel Messi with $81 million. Messi, who plays for Barcelona, was sentenced in July to a 21-month prison term in Spain. The Argentinian had been found guilty of cheating on his taxes. Messi is not expected to serve any of the time in prison, however, as the sentence was suspended. He did have to pay fines. Several broadcast media stars were also in the top 10 of Forbes' richest celebrities list. The entertainer who ties with Ronaldo for fourth place is television star Phil McGraw. McGraw hosts the wildly popular Dr. Phil, a mental health talk show. Radio and television star Howard Stern is number 8, and political commentator Rush Limbaugh closes the list out at number 10. The other two places in the top 10 belong to a book writer and a comedian. James Patterson's many fictions have sold hundreds of millions of copies around the world. Forbes says the author made $95 million over the last 12 months. He is number 3 on the richest celebrities list. Funny man Kevin Hart is number 6. Forbes says he is the first comedian to earn more than his colleague, Jerry Seinfeld. The magazine reports Hart's earnings at $87.5 million. Now that is some serious funny money. I'm Katie Weaver.
The spread of mobile phones across America has led to a disappearance of public pay telephones. In fact, in New York City right now, workers are removing pay phones from the city's streets. But pay phones are being replaced by something most people will find more useful: free Wi-Fi kiosks. The Link NYC program is expected to install 7,500 kiosks, or links, throughout the city over the next few years. The system is in beta testing right now. City Bridge is providing the kiosks. It is an alliance of three companies: Qualcomm, Intersection, and Civic Smartscapes. Intersection is owned by Alphabet, the parent company of Google. New York City will install and maintain them. It will pay for the program and expects to profit from the links through advertising. Each link has two high-definition screens to display advertisements and public service announcements. The kiosks also provide high-speed Wi-Fi internet access, tablets with internet access, phone calling within the U.S., emergency phone calls, and USB charging ports. Link NYC says Wi-Fi will cover an area of 45 meters around the kiosk. Wi-Fi speeds are 100 times faster than home networks, according to Link NYC. Users have been impressed with the speed. In addition to speed, Link NYC Wi-Fi offers security. Each kiosk offers two types of Wi-Fi networks, secured and unsecured. By registering with an email account, a user can get a key to connect to an encrypted Wi-Fi network. According to Link NYC, your email address will never be sold or shared with third parties for their own use. The company's privacy policy contains more information about data privacy. Each kiosk has a tablet that runs a secure version of Android to access the internet, get maps, directions, and information about city services. A phone keypad lets users call U.S. phone numbers for free. Users can press and hold a red button on the kiosk to call emergency services. Kiosks can also serve as charging stations with two USB ports that transfer electricity but not data. People are able to connect headphones at the kiosks for privacy and to block city noise. The kiosks have cameras. The cameras will help record traffic flow, pollution levels, crime, and suspicious packages. If you visit New York City, you may see a Link NYC kiosk or a payphone being removed. A video on YouTube shows how to connect to a Link NYC kiosk. If you would like to see Link NYC come to your town, send an email invitation. The address is hello@link.nyc. The Links program is not without critics. Some neighbors of the kiosks have reported increased noise, with users streaming music, videos, and television shows. Some people are also reporting concern about privacy issues. They worry about the use of cameras on the links. Still others have questioned the privacy of the personal data that will be collected by the kiosks. I'm Mario Ritter.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.